You guys ready for a little throwback? You're listening to Rust Belt Running. I'm Adam Wheeler. You can find me on social media at Wheels Up in CLE. Joined as I always am by Andrew Hettinger, who you can find on social media. Andrew runs a lot. If you want to find the podcast, the coaching service, you can find that on social media at Rust Belt Running. Andrew, how you doing, bud?
Dude, it's good to be with you again. We've talked about when we were going to do this, and I needed some time off, and then you and I got together last week, and we enjoyed our time together, and it was like, hey, let's do this again, because we probably should.
Yeah.
So no, I'm excited to be here, and I got some other conversations on the docket that I gotta do today, but this is gonna be a good way to start it off.
Nice.
So, real quick, just before we get too deep into our or how do you do? I just want to remind everybody to like, subscribe, review us on your favorite podcast platforms. Go to rustbeltrunning.com where you can find out more information on how to support the show through our different offerings and run coaching, merchandise, different things like that. That's pretty much it for now. No coaching tip, because I don't know what we're going to talk about today. We're just going to get on it. How you been, man? It's been, since October, since we've done this. We haven't done this since after Columbus.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right, because you had your vacation, mm-hmm. and then we came back, and you just, we all needed some time off. Yeah. And then the format change happened, and so, yeah, I guess it has been a little while. Jesus.
Yeah,
I've been good. It's really weird. Last year, it felt like training for Boston was this really long stretch of time, and here we are. We're recording this 3 weeks before my second Boston, and I don't know where the time's gone. Like, I don't feel like I've been training for that long. It's a really weird sort of time jump.
Yeah, how does it feel like doing this the second time? Like, is there a difference versus last year? I mean, you maybe know a little more what to expect. Maybe you can visualize the course a little more while you're out on training runs, that type of thing. Like, the weather has been, it's been better this year, right?
I think it's been colder this year. Really? We never really had, like, the sustained stretches of cold weather last year that we've had this year. We haven't had a lot of snow, although we didn't have a lot of snow last year either. So training-wise, it has not been bad. It certainly hasn't been like it was 2 years ago when I was training for Pittsburgh and blizzards and stretches of cold. That was awful. It's different for a couple of reasons. You know, there was just so much build-up to my first one, a couple of near misses that really just made it a lot more emotional. This time around, it's like I know the race. I know what the weekend's going to look like. I don't feel like there's certain things that I have to do this trip around that we did last year. We're actually extending it a little bit because the Guardians are in town that week. They're the game during Marathon Monday. So we're extending a day after, and we have tickets to go to Fenway the next night and hopefully see a good baseball game and hopefully not freeze doing it. the thing that is very different this year, though, is that my life is just in a very different place. Last year, I mean, I was working a job that I've been working for so long, I could kind of do it on autopilot. And so I was able to put a lot more sort of mental energy into training. Whereas now I'm in the middle of a career switch where I'm really working two jobs. And, with the insurance thing, my schedule is all over the place. It doesn't work like a 9-to-5 job. My schedule really changes on a weekly basis. And I'll go into a week kind of knowing what my week is supposed to look like. And then things will pop up. And so there have been times where I'm very much more cramming runs in, and I think that's maybe why the time feels so different this time around, because there's just been a lot of weeks where I look back and I go, holy shit, I had to accomplish a lot this week, and I somehow got my runs in, and I'm still training well, and before I kind of had built my work schedule around my running schedule. I'd been working for so long with that job that you know how it is in the service industry. You build up seniority and you kind of can get what you want. So for that reason, it feels different because I haven't been able to put as much time or energy into this, even though my training still has gone really well. It just life feels different. Not in a bad way, not a good, it's just different. So Yeah, it feels different this time around. I still think once I actually get there and I'm in the entire sort of like atmosphere of all that, it's gonna very
Right.
much feel like Boston again.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of bummed. I'm gonna have some FOMO that week because I did have a my trip booked and everything, and then I decided I wanted to do something different. So I don't know if it is the running aspect becoming work that made me go, I want to do, I want, if I'm going to do a trip, I want it to be more vacation-y. And so I booked a trip that I'm doing on my own a couple weeks later. But yeah, I'm definitely gonna have FOMO, especially with the Guardians being in town. I mean, it won't be seeing Trout and Ohtani go over.
God.
but still can't believe we were reminiscing about that last week when we were together, how we got to see two of the greatest players of all time at Fenway, our first trip ever at Fenway, and they sucked. They just did nothing the whole time.
And the game like flew by. It was like a 2 hour game because nobody could do anything on offense. Do you think Ohtani's interpreter bet the over or the under on that game?
I have not looked enough into that. I've seen a little bit. So I sure hope Ohtani is clean. I hope it's just his interpreter stealing money. I hope Ohtani is clean because he's a treasure. I don't want, I mean, and if it's a situation where he was just gambling on other sports, I hate that. Like, if it's illegal, I get it, but it's like, if it doesn't impact the integrity of the game, who gives a fuck? Are we going to do the Sha'Carri Richardson with weed all over again? Like, if it doesn't impact the outcome, who cares? I just dropped my first F-bomb on the podcast for the year. I just want to throw that out there.
I'm a bad influence on you.
I have not done that. It is March 23rd, ladies and gentlemen. I did edit one out from, I think it was the Tokyo episode because we got a little in the weeds on some of the COVID stuff, and I said something, and I was like, we don't need to go into the weeds too much on the COVID stuff because, like, it's over. Like, well, I mean, you know what I mean. It's not, but it
The
is.
acute
Like,
phase is over.
right. So, but yeah, I dropped one, but it has come out. I've been a good boy, and here you are, and it's all. Now I'm a bad boy.
Oh, please. Boy, this got off the rails really fast.
Yeah. Where were we? Ohtani
Ohtani and gambling.
gambling? Sha'Carri Richardson and weed? I don't know.
God, yeah.
Yeah, we got a good year of running ahead of us though, because we do have the Olympics this year.
Yeah.
We have is Kipchoge done?
Well, I was just gonna say, like, this feels like the first time in probably 10 years where you start to look at a major race like this and you say, you know what? I've probably got the field. And you're talking about a really quick turnaround going from, running Tokyo to running the Olympics. And the thing we've always marveled about him is that it's not just that he wins, it's that he's been able to train consistently. The guy doesn't get hurt, he doesn't miss races. And now you just wonder if he's hit that age where all of a sudden he needs more recovery. He just can't simply churn out the sort of training that he's been churning out before. He did go out at world record pace. And is that a situation where he decided, I'm going to go after the world record no matter what happens, and if I blow up, I blow up. Whereas, a race like the Olympics is more tactical. Just beat the guys that you're around.
Well, and how much did the world record, because I think it was what, 2 weeks after Kiptum died?
It
I
was
wonder,
really
like,
close.
how much of that was Elliot, like, I gotta go give this a shot for him. Like, I have to lay this all out there and try to take the record for him. Because, we've talked about it before. Everybody wants to see the record broken, even the person who holds the record. And that would be the greatest of ways to honor Kelvin Kiptum would be to take his record. And so I wonder if there was some of that in there that caused Elliott to maybe do more than he's capable of. But he did the same thing at Boston too. He went out at like sub two pace at Boston. And yeah, we were all like, what the hell is he doing? And Niles and I were sitting in their living room watching him go out. We were like, this ain't gonna work. I mean, if it, you didn't know, I guess we didn't know then because we hadn't seen him on a course like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess we'll see if he's done. I mean, he can still have, you know, he just needs everything to fall into place for him one time. And, that's, I mean, but it fell into place for him for like 12 years. So, I mean, I guess it's bound to, you know,
yeah,
his luck is bound to run out on that.
The other thing he's got going for him is that no one has won three consecutive gold medals in the marathon at the Olympics. And you're at a point now where he doesn't hold the world record anymore. And odds are he's probably not going to ever again. A lot would have to come together perfectly for him to do that, and just age is against him. So really, this is probably the thing. This and breaking two are going to be like the two things he's going to be known for. So if you can go out and do that, you're talking about capping off a legacy.
Right.
And that is where I don't put it against him to just find a way to make that happen, because he's still an experienced racer. I mean, this is the guy who's known for putting the pedal to the metal against guys at mile 15 and smiling at them as he does it and saying, I dare you.
Yeah.
Come get me. I dare you.
One thing I think is kind of an interesting topic for us to maybe hit on for a few minutes as run coaches is, you know, we saw with the, you were talking about Elliott, you know, maybe not being able, you know, maybe needing a little more time to recover, you know, and maybe not being able to handle the grind quite like he could. But we saw it on in the U.S. trials with just name after name after name withdrawing.
Yeah.
From the trials. I wonder if we might begin to see, I would love to see, because I don't know that it exists, but people bringing down their volume slightly. I think even elites, I think, are just, they're pushing their body to the brink so consistently with no breaks. And I understand their bodies are insane and are capable of withstanding pounding and damage that our bodies can't, but their bodies can't either. I mean, we're seeing it.
Yeah.
I mean, the evidence is in front of us. I mean, we have Emma Bates, Molly Seidel, Jared Ward. I mean, there's more names, but those are three huge names.
Massive names. Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's, yeah, there's gotta be, and I feel like it's been kind of consistent for them too, especially Molly. Now, I know Molly has, you know, different issues besides injury, but she has a condition that will lead to injury if she's not more careful too. So, like, I don't know. I'm curious if there's any thoughts that you've had on that as people have, as we've seen pros, you know, seem to just DNS more. Because I feel like there's got to be something. And I'll go to our friend Chris Gutierrez, who used to pile on like 140 mile weeks and stuff. And then he just, same thing, he cycle after cycle, injury after injury after injury. And now he's like running 80 to 90 miles, and he's, which is still a lot for myself. And,
you know, for me.
I mean, a lot for you too. But, you know, he pushed himself right to the brink of OTQ.
Yeah,
which is way better than pushing yourself to the brink of a start line, which is where he was. So curious if you have any thoughts on that.
This is where I wish I understood the business side of running a little bit more, because I think part of the reason you see some of these things is that there's just a higher payout running road races, road marathons versus not. And I think that part of it comes down to the things we've seen negotiated into contracts. Kara Goucher's book was really informative, looking at some of the things that Nike used to negotiate into their contracts in terms of, you know, world rankings and places in road races and you know, performance bonuses and de-escalators, where if you weren't running enough, you risked, you know, basically seeing your contract done. There was actually a point in time where she had to finish so many races essentially to keep her base salary. And so she found a bunch of like small local races essentially to get these runs in, so she could maintain her base salary. So this is where I wish I understood the business side of it more. And she and Dez in their podcast have talked about this a little bit. And if you want to go down that rabbit hole, it's worth listening to them, because they obviously both have a lengthy history, you know, looking at the business side of running.
Right.
So I do wonder if some of it does come down to that. You know, to your point, though, I do think what you're probably seeing is really a need to, you know, the general math is like, well, if you want to run faster, you want to take on more volume, because more volume leads to essentially fatigue resistance. And so there's some truth to that. But at the same time, I think sometimes maybe what you're seeing is almost like too much of a commitment to volume without really looking at like what the risk reward factor is for keeping you actually healthy and able to go. And I think this is one of those areas where, you know, you talk about the two of us as coaches. I think it's really smart to look at the individual runner and look at what the individual runner needs. If we're getting away from talking about elites and just talking about people like you and me, people that we coach, you know, the conversation I always have with my athletes is that I can't train you the way I'm going to train other people, because people's schedules are maybe like the single biggest factor that plays into how much running they can actually handle. And, you know, you can look at a plan and put it together and say like, oh, I know if I want to run fast, I need to tack on more volume. And you can look at a plan online and try to just do that, and you're probably going to run yourself into the ground, like kind of what right. I think, like a Chris Gutierrez used to do, like, oh, volume is the way I'm going to get fast, so therefore I need to do this. It's amazing how fast people can get just by taking miles down and focusing more on strength, focusing more on mobility. I've been rereading Scott Fobel's book about his training for the 2018 New York City Marathon. And, you know, you talk about an elite who's paid to do this, and throughout that book, there are times where he and his coach Ben Rosario talk about we decided we needed to back off because we knew we were towing a line, and maybe the math says, well, we need to push more volume, but the results in front of us are saying Scott can't finish workouts. We really need to back off. You know, Scott is coming into a workout he should feel fresh for, and he's got nothing in his legs. Like, we need to back off. You need to ignore the math and stay healthy. Yes, I don't know if this is a situation where business decisions are causing runners to just go too much, if there's a risk-reward factor there that they're willing to push a little bit because the payoff can be so good. I don't know if it's just the cost of trying to train at such a high level that you know that you might just cross that line and push too hard and get injured. But I do think, like, going back to your original point, it's probably an area where a little less mileage would probably keep these runners in the game a lot longer. And that's easy for us to say being on the outside looking in, but it's a lot of DNSs, like you said.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. I don't think I'm speaking specifically about elites too, who are you know, like significant, like double the mileage we're doing. I'm not speaking towards we're not gonna be throwing out, you know, 20-mile week training plans or for full marathons or anything like that. We're not gonna try to disrupt the industry with stupidity or anything. It's you know, I think, you know, when I'm working with an athlete, and especially when we get into like our second, our third cycle, you know, I can find like, you're looking for like small gains, you know, you're not. And, you know, I did it for myself last year and I fucked around and found out a little bit, but like, you know, you'll add a mile or two here and there, you know, looking for 5 or 6 miles a week without throwing it all on one workout.
Right.
And I wonder if they need to just do, you know, if some of the elites and their coaches just need to look and, you know, do that same thing, but the inverse of it, and find a mile or two to take off here and there. Because, I mean, these people, too, they're freaking pros. Like, they got, like, teams that take care of their bodies and everything. Yeah. And that we're having this level of DNS on the American side sucks because, like, I will root for our side in the Olympics, but outside of Connor Mance, do we have any hope on the men's side of a podium? Probably not.
Not unless it's a breakthrough performance.
Right. And I mean, Connor Mance would still have to be a breakthrough performance, but if there's one of the three you're looking at, it's him.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. I don't know. That's just food for thought, I guess. I don't know if that's not going to reach anyone or anything, but I guess we can see if it does, if there is an effect and a thought that's happening somewhere in the coaching world.
We missed out on a really fascinating experiment with Kelvin Kiptum specifically, because he threw down like ultra high mileage for his training that led to the world record. So much so that his coach even said, I don't know if this is sustainable. And a guy who was at the outside of his career doing that, it was going to be fascinating to see if he was going to be able to hold that up and was going to be able to do it. Because sports is always about, it's always a copycat thing. Mm-hmm. Somebody does something and coaches go, okay, well, that's the formula now. We got to do that. And so with him doing it, because he's got the world record, you know there's other coaches out there that for their athletes are saying, yeah, no, that's the formula. We got to do that. And it was just going to be fascinating to see what his career was going to look like trying to maintain that, if he was going to try to maintain it or if he was going to be happy with what he'd already gotten, because it's the sort of thing that hasn't really been, to our knowledge, attempted. And it led to a world record. And when you have accomplishments with something that hasn't been attempted before, others are going to go after it.
Yeah. That's...
Yeah.
That sucks. To this day, that sucks. I mean, the Olympics, like, you brought it up for a split second, and it's just like, it seems... That's such a bummer. Like, I mean, we're supposed to be heading into... Even Boston was supposed to almost be second fiddle in April to Rotterdam, you know? Like, that sucks. God, he was so freaking young. We did a whole episode on Kelvin Kiptum back in February. If you want to go take a listen to that, it's just some thoughts we had on his passing. And yeah, it's just so untimely.
I mean,
just so many things that we missed. And he's what seemed to be one person who was exempt from this conversation of lower mileage, like you just said. But I mean, the difference is the dude was like, what, 24? Versus these people we're talking about who are like, you start dying after 25. Yeah. Whatever the innuendo is there, but like you start, that's when they say your body starts to break down. I remember that from like high school. If that's wrong, somebody call me on it. But like the point stands that like, you know, he's so freaking young.
Yeah.
And, to try to mimic that, like, if Jared Ward goes out and tries to mimic that, good luck.
Yeah.
Even Connor Mance. I mean, I don't know how old Connor Mance is off the top of my head, but you can't mimic the mileage he was putting in and expect to have success and no injury for the length of time he has done it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not a chance. All right. What now? I don't know. I got nothing. I'm not really running much right now. So
I was just going to ask, how's your running going?
Well, it's been an interesting year. I decided I wasn't going to do anything really in the spring.
I don't blame you. This sucks.
Yeah.
I'm looking at snow on the ground. It's like, God.
The weather, it was part of it. I had a really long fall last year.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed doing Chicago and Columbus. And I think about that a lot when I'm running.
Mm-hmm.
I think about how insane that accomplishment was. Especially when I'm going out and I'm just running like 5 miles and I'm like dying at like mile four. And I'm like, God damn, I did 26.2 back-to-back weeks, and I never felt this bad on the second one. How is that possible? It's such a credit to the work that you do, you know, to get there, and a little bit of luck. I was very fortunate to feel the way I felt that day in Columbus, because I didn't take care of myself at all the night before. I had like... I think we had like meatball subs and like chili or something at my sister-in-law's. And I was drinking beer. We were up late playing video games and shit. Like, it was just like you wouldn't think I was going to run a marathon the next morning. And I woke up that morning. I was like, no, why did I do this? And then I had the most fun I've ever had.
Yeah.
Running. But, after that was a lot. And Boston registration being all wacky, I was just like, I don't want to go after that goal right now because we don't know what it looks like in September.
Yeah.
So I age up after this next registration window. So, I'll get an idea of what, that looks like. So I was like, I'm just going to take the spring, do something short and easy. So I signed up for the training camp 10K down here in Canton at the Hall of Fame. And that's in April on the 21st. And I was trying to train for that. And I was like, I'm just going to do some fast shit. But a couple weeks ago, my back just got all kinds of jacked up. I don't know what I did to it. I couldn't. Mm-hmm. It sucked because it was the first like really warm day we had. And I had just got a new pair of short shorts in. I think I had just taken them out of the packaging
the curse of the short shorts.
And I was like, I'm going to put on these short shorts and I'm going to see if I can run out this lower back pain I'm having. And I took like 3 steps and I was like, nope, that ain't going to work. So I'm finally feeling on the mend from that about 3 or 4 weeks later. It's been about a month. So I'm good. I'm good there now and I'm ready to kind of get back at it. I was hoping to really throw down like an awesome 10K time. That would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you're showing up. I think we've talked about it, but adult track night is going to be a thing too. In June.
I don't know if I'm going to race anything there, but I can't imagine I wouldn't be there. We have so many friends and athletes that are going to be running there.
I had the plan to time trial a mile a couple weeks ago because I was starting to get back into shape, and I've been at the track with Nate Perez a few times and was feeling good about
retired Nate, who's out running every weekend in the snow. Like, that's not retirement, buddy.
We'd been getting good work in, and I was like, all right, I want to time trial a mile and I want to see, you know, set that baseline and see what I do from now until adult track night.
Yeah.
And, I never got that time trial in. So, I mean, I still got time to do it, but I had thoughts of like running like a 38 minute 10K and which would have been smoking fast.
Yeah.
I'd be lucky. That's not going to happen. I don't know that I'll even break my. I got 42:44, which was a long time ago because you don't race that distance very often. I don't even know that I can break that right now. We'll see.
That's okay, though. If you're not running through the winter, and it sucks, like I've already decided, like I'm not doing a spring marathon next year. I don't want to train through the winter. Like, I'll run through the winter, but I have no desire to do what I've been doing. And I need a break, too. Like, I think I'm going to do another fall marathon because I'd like to put myself in a position to where I can go to Boston in 2026 if I want to. Mm-hmm. But after that, I don't even know if I'm going to do a marathon next year. Like, I need a break from stuff. Like, I like running, but I want to tackle some other things. I don't want to be doing as high mileage and... It's just, it's mentally draining.
Yeah.
It just is.
Well, and that's part of what this, first semester of 2024 has been for me as well, is like, I'm trying to mentally get right. Like, you and I have talked about it a lot with our business, and, we went really hard in 2022 and 23.
Yeah.
And spent a lot of time working on that for a pretty basic return on our time investment.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of financial investment in this. I mean, we've gotten any of that money back basically, but, time wise, you never get your time back. And, we put a lot of time in, and I told you, I was like, I'm going to give this the time it deserves. That's kind of been my mindset. So I've taken a step back. That's why I don't know what we post on social media anymore, besides like if it's podcast related, because I don't get on it. Like, I'll get on my personal, and if you post a coaching video, I see it and I'm like, cool, he did something. But I only log in a couple times a day to check my messages, and that's pretty much it. Like, I'm, trying to take a step back from that stuff and take a step back from the business side of the business a little bit to give myself that time to, be Andrew instead of Coach Andrew or Andrew Runs a Lot or anything. Now, I say that, that I still want people to sign up for run coaching with us, and I still will give them my time.
Absolutely.
And nothing in my desire to coach has changed. It's just when it comes to all the business shit. You know, I'm just taking a step back. I started seeing a therapist for anxiety as well.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big step that I have decided to take. And just really trying to take that part of my life serious, because at 38, it's not been easy. So, it was funny when I was actually talking to my therapist the other day. We're talking about, we're talking about like why I'm, you know, even seeing her. And I'm like, you know, I've always taken mental health seriously, but for other people. Like, I've always been very, like, feel things. Like, let's talk to Mark Freeman. And, like, let's, you know, make sure that people know it's okay to feel things. Let me tell my son it's okay to cry. Let me do. But I never, like, what did I tell myself in all of that? Not a damn thing. And that's some of what I'm trying to work on. So I'm still training. I'm working on myself right now. But, it's just that, you know, looking at things a little differently, taking this time that's down after an insane fall. It's good stuff. It's not all fun. This is going to be a good year that is, you know, straightening some of the bricks in my wall that I've been putting up over the past few years of running and getting myself where I can, you know, hopefully in 2025, go after the unicorn that has just slipped through my fingers like a greased up deaf guy.
Man, what a great Family Guy reference.
Man, nothing like ending, like, take your mental health. I'm going to work on me and take my mental health seriously. Here's a greased up deaf guy reference.
You can't catch me. Oh. There's like two very different points that I wanted to talk about, and I'm going to go with the serious one first. Because, starting last year, probably when I made the career change, I kind of found myself in a similar sort of mental headspace as you. One between being a coach, there's a lot of giving that you do, coaching people, which I love. I've always loved doing that. But that's mentally, that's mentally taxing. It's mentally engaging. That just is what it is. I'm also I'm the oldest of three kids, but I'm the only local kid. And I've got parents that are getting older that are requiring, you know, just more involvement from me. So there's some caregiving aspect going on there. And then just, you know, with the work that I, being in the service industry for a long time, it was funny. I was working last night and the bartender that I was working with were both like in our early 40s. And she said, you know, we're like the mom and dad of this place now. She's like, the youngins come to us and they sit down and they want advice and we have to check them and you know, keep them in their lane sometimes. She's like, we're the mom and the dad. And we were like, we had a great time last night, but there were also like some things some of the younger people, you know, some of the younger workers were doing. We're just like, God damn it, go away. It was like very much like get off my lawn behavior. Yeah. So even that gets a little taxing because it's not like I can just go in and be social. It's like I have to go in and be social, but it's like the older brother, the dad sometimes. And that's tiring. And so there was a point last year when I made the career change where I very consciously started to make a decision to just cut some things out, to just cut some interactions out, to cut out some of the socialization that I was doing, because it wasn't really socialization that was giving me energy. It was just socialization that was like, I've been doing this for a while. These are the people I've been hanging out with, and I still see those people and hang out with them, but I needed to focus more on myself because I've been doing a lot of focusing on other people. And I'm much more like a hermit now, and I still go out and I still do stuff, but I need more downtime, I need more me time, and I need to reconnect with the things that I find value and that help me restore and recover. And so I'm much more intentional about some of those things now, and I've toyed with seeing a therapist because there's certainly things that I could talk about and that I need to work on as well. But it is, it's funny that you said that. Like, there's a lot of that, just you take it seriously for everybody else, but you don't take it seriously for yourself. And there was very much this kind of like slap in the face to me last summer of like, you have to start taking this seriously for yourself.
Yeah.
You can't pour from an empty cup. Right. And I feel bad because there have been a couple of friends that have reached out, you know, that want to get together, and you know, intellectually I go like, oh yeah, absolutely, we need to do that. And then emotionally it's like, God, I don't know where. And then I feel like I'm being a shitty friend.
Yeah.
And I've just been very upfront and honest with people. Like, I'm really sorry. Like, I feel at times like I just don't have anything to give. And this year is calming down a bit. A lot of last year was that really as soon as I made the decision to go into insurance, I was on a roller coaster of just doing stuff constantly between having to get licensed and certified and contracted and then into the sale, you know, into the selling window. And then the huge mistake that I made was we got through the selling window in early December and it was like, yay, we're done. I have a little bit of time. Let's do stuff. And I did that and I got through the holidays. And I went, holy Christ, I'm tired. Why did I do that? You know, so it's much more intentional now of like, hey, I have work that I need to do. And when I'm done, I really need to look after myself because I wasn't and I just had nothing left to give.
Yeah, you said something and I think it's funny. We are getting older. And one way that I know I'm getting older is Aldi, which I speak a lot about. But I have these moments in my life where I'm like, oh my God, I sound like an old person who just can't do like. So Aldi has self-checkout now.
Okay.
And their self-checkout scanners are the absolute fucking worst. Like, I will try, and it does not matter. It will be a different store. It will be a different scanner. I will sit there and scan. And their barcodes that they have, I wish I had an example with me, take up, like, the entire, like, side of packaging. Like, because they're trying to make it easy. But it does not read. I will get so goddamn pissed off at that thing. And I prefer self-checkout almost anywhere else because I don't have to talk to anybody.
Yes. But like, oh, God. Get off my lawn vibes.
But here, I will get so irritated and just wonder why things can't be the way they used to be. And it's just like, I'm so mad. I'm like, oh, my God, I'm 65 years old. Like, next thing you know, I'm going to start yelling about the border being open and talking about Brandon all the time. Like, goodness gracious, this world is stupid, and I'm part of it because I yell at the fucking – the amount of times that I have had, like, something cheap. Like, and it's usually – it's always if I have, like, five of an item. So, like, I'll get, like, my little Greek yogurts I take to lunch, and there's always five of them because there's 5 days in a week. The first one scans, and I'll just go to try to scan the same one five times, right, just because it's real quick. It scans, and then I go to scan it again. I'm like, nope, nope. And I'll start trying to scan all of them, and I'm sitting there. I have to look like a fucking idiot trying to scan all of these. And then I go, fuck it, they're free. Like, I'll just throw them in my bag because I'm so pissed off that my, like, 30-cent Greek yogurts won't scan. I'm just like, fine, if you don't want to scan it, I mean, I can't make them scan. I'm trying. I'm doing my best. I'm not intentionally thieving these. Like, this is your fault, Aldi, not mine. I wonder if that would hold up in court if I ever got sued for stealing Greek yogurts.
You know the worst part about those self-scanners is that the stores install them, and there's certain scenarios where somebody has to be around. Like, you need help, or you know, if you have alcohol, it doesn't matter if you look 80, somebody has to come over and scan you. And the stores never have enough people to do that. Like, you need that one person who's going to be in the area who's just kind of paying attention. And I understand how much that job would suck. But, you know, I'll be a giant eagle and I've got alcohol and I'm going to scan and I look around and there's nobody. It's like, there's nobody around. It's like, guys, like, we're saving you time. Can there just be that one person here that can just scan this real quick, please?
I go to Mark's because there's one across the street, and since I'm pretty sure they're the only people in the entire country that probably pay federal minimum wage, they hire 15-year-olds. They have a big sign about it, too.
Oh, yeah.
We hire 15-year-olds. Whatever. I'll make my kid go over there in a couple years. I have to, if I go there to buy beer, I have to, like, look to see. Like, I'll walk down the checkouts, be like, that person's not 21, I could tell. Because, like, then they have to call somebody to scan it. There's not enough people, so it takes forever. I just try not to.
No one wants to work anymore.
You know, I didn't realize that we were doing an episode of Jay talking today.
Oh my God, we are. Yes! We've graduated to being Jay Pritchett. Yes! What's really great is I told you before that there were two things I wanted to talk about, and I was going to go with the serious one first. You bringing up us getting older was the second point, and I'm going to tell you why this came to mind.
You brought it up.
I brought it up. But you piggybacked it beautifully, and you didn't even know you were leading into my second point. There's a video going around. You remember the movie Old School?
Yes.
Okay. You know, the guys in their 40s create the fraternity on campus.
Great movie.
I love that movie. It's 21 years old now, by the way.
Jesus.
I know. Damn it. So there's a great scene early when Will Ferrell's character has just gotten married and he's not Frank the Tank yet. Mm-hmm. And he goes to, like, the first party. And, you know, he's talking to some of the college guys. And he's like, you know, I told my wife I wouldn't drink tonight. I got a pretty big day tomorrow. And the college student says, a big day? You know, doing what? And this is Frank's response. I actually got a pretty nice little Saturday. We're going to go to Home Depot. Yeah, you know, buy some wallpaper, maybe get some flooring, stuff like that. Maybe Bed, Bath & Beyond. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time. And the video going around is that, you know, I've gotten to the age now where, like, Frank the Tank's low-key Saturday actually sounds better to me than the party. And I was at my parents' the other day, and I'm looking, like, out of the little plot for the garden. I'm thinking, like, yeah, a couple months from now, I'll be going to Home Depot, getting my plants, you know, maybe picking up some fertilizer. Sounds like a pretty good day. I saw the video and went, shit. I'm that old.
Every Friday night, we go out as a family. We'll grab dinner and we'll go do something. We're trying to fight through some of the desire to just stay home and, you know,
go to
our separate places and, you know, be away from it. We'll go out.
Yeah.
Well, last night we were like, hey, let's go grab a cheaper dinner and then let's go to like Home Depot and look at washers and dryers because we're due for a new one. So our need for like to replace our washer and dryer turned into our family night. We're just going to go to Home Depot and look at washers and dryers, even though we already knew which ones we were getting online. Let's just go see if we can see it. Like, it's so silly. We are getting old. It is. And seriously, watching Modern Family a couple, maybe like a week or two ago, was the Jay talking episode. And I was watching it like, oh my God. This is me. Like, I do this. I do this all the time. When he gets mad at when he can't put down what the troll is saying to him, too. Like, he just can't get away from it. It's so good.
My mom will constantly just send me clips from Modern Family. It's been off air for 4 or 5 years, and it just continues to hold up. And what's great is, like, it doesn't matter what season you're talking about.
Yeah.
And because it was on for so long, you saw all those characters go through major changes. And so there's like a very, you know, there's a young Phil Dunphy who's about our age when that show starts. And then there is a, you know, grandpa Phil Dunphy by the end of the show who's gone through, you know, career changes and the kids leaving home and he's a grandpa. And it's just like you can identify with so many levels of Phil.
Gosh, it's a great show. Young Luke is still my favorite, though.
Oh, God, Young Luke.
Young Luke was incredible. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the paint can thing. I'm afraid he's going to turn into you, Phil. Look, Dad. It doesn't even look like it's moving. Hey, you're right.
Oh, my God. Oh man. I think that's a good place for us to wrap this one up at. I think we came to Modern Family. We always get to a sitcom at some point, and we got here as naturally as you could.
Yeah. Nothing forced. There was no agenda coming into today.
Mm-mm. Nope. You just started talking about get off my lawn. We're getting older. To yeah, we sure are. God damn it. You know what really? Well, I was thinking in my head. I was like, you know what really grinds my gears? And then I was like, wait, Jay talking though is more relevant.
Yeah.
Because it's really about getting older. And So. Yeah, that's it. This is good. I enjoyed sitting down with you. We'll come back. We got episode 200 coming up.
Jesus.
What's funny? It took us like not very long to get to episode 100. It's taken us like twice as long to get the next 100 in because we recorded like 18 episodes last year.
Yeah, and then yeah, really did.
And you know, notably absent, I do want to just address this, is Matt Martin. He still works with us. Yeah. He's just, you know, like me, he's taken a step back, and we've just kind of restructured how he's working with us, but he's still around. So, he's actually working with some new athletes now, but, yeah, make sure to give him a follow at Matt Mart Run as well and see, what's going on. He would have been an interesting person to talk with, Boston about, cause he's pulled. So he's still,
yeah, the PR streak can stay alive. That is some next level thinking right there.
I'd love to know how much that played into it, but yeah. All right. Well, good stuff. Cheers to you in April. Make sure to check out next week when I interview a very special guest about a review of the Boston Marathon.
Who do you
wonder
have?
It's top secret, my friend.
Yeah.
Top secret.
Okay.
He's probably gonna be wearing a yelling Baldwin Wallace hat though. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, that's it. That's all I got. You got anything else, Adam?
I got nothing.
All right. Well, hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening. One more call to like, subscribe, review us on your favorite podcast platforms. You can follow me at Andrew Runs A Lot, Adam at Wheels Up in CLE, the podcast, and us as coaches at Rust Belt Running whenever I actually do get on there. Check out our website, rustbeltrunning.com, where you can find out about our different offerings in run coaching, shop for merch, and different ways to support the show. So, guys, thanks so much for listening. Adam, best of everything in the coming weeks. And until next time, enjoy your miles, everybody.
I love my log.